Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Munchcast with Cammie Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 60 for February 22nd, 2009. Cammie's Mailbag. This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much. It's time for Munchcast, the show all about Svenska food. And here she is from Sweden, Ms. Cammie. Cammie Blackstone. Hey, Cammie!
Oh, hello. I wish I knew a Swedish word, and I just don't. I was going to try and go along with this.
Just good talk per day. Bialystok and Bloom. Good dog.
Meatball Abba. That's all that's I know. It. That's Swedish.
Go dancing queen. She was the
Fernando.
Did you see that movie
with
Meryl Streep in the overalls?
I saw the play. The
play was supposed to be very good.
You know what? I was not. You know, I love Abba. Don't get me wrong. They've made quite a contribution to the world.
I know this about
magic.
You. Yes.
But I just don't like weaving together a stupid story like you. I don't know.
It was a little bit of a stretch.
It's like a backwards musical, you know, like Elvis movies that where they would like have a stretch by coming up with a stupid song just to fill, you know, put a musical element in, like do the clam or something. But like the ABBA thing, they would come up with stupid, the Mamma Mia, they'd come up with stupid storylines to fit the song. It was just backwards. I didn't like it.
You know, as I remember, you were an early ABBA adopter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think you liked them because they were a little bit camp.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, and I actually went to Gothenburg, Sweden, and they had like an ABBA museum, and I think they also had an Elvis museum. Like they were like close to each other. So I felt like, I don't know, there was osmosis of cool. Elvis infected ABBA and made them, you know, cool. Cool, campy, and junk-tastic.
You actually made the pilgrimage to ABBA's birthplace?
No, I just happened to be there.
I was going
to
say,
I remember they had like a sidewalk, like, you know, like Grauman's Chinese Theater of all the famous Swedish people. And so they had all the people from ABBA and then Liv Ullmann.
Oh.
That was pretty much it.
Liv Ullmann's also. So really, the list of famous Swedes isn't that long. At least Swedes famous outside of Sweden.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Leif Erikson. Well, wait. Is he Norwegian?
Let's not get into that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go into food. Let's just dig deep into the mailbag. I feel like it's been a while.
We haven't done a mailbag episode.
I have this stockpile of information. But first,
yes.
I want to talk a little bit about some junk food in the news right now because of the economy. I think you'll find a lot of places are closing up. A lot of like places that I used to love, like places that made only cupcakes and places that, you know, people who had discretionary income, you know, could just kind of toss over there and, you know, buy like themselves a $5 cupcake. But nobody has that kind of money anymore. And in fact, I was just reading in the LA Times about Fratelli's, which was a fantastic donut place, closing.
Oh, no.
And it was the kind of place that had like donuts that were super gourmet and kind of expensive. But, you know, nowadays when people want a donut, they're going to go cheap.
Well, get ready for this. This is a real shocker. Hmm. Beer sales, traditionally completely recession-proof, in a spiral tumble, a downturn.
No way.
Yes.
Well, are people going for the hard alcohol? Is that it?
No. Alcohol purchased for home consumption, adjusted for inflation, dating all the way back to 1959, compared against the GDP, has plummeted.
That blows my mind.
Off the chart. It's down almost 10%, 9.3% this quarter.
Now, that is funny because my friend owns a liquor store and she said that she's like her liquor store is booming because everyone's drinking at home rather than spending the money going to a bar.
Well, maybe she's just an outlier because I'm looking at the graph. This graph, by the way, prepared, by, believe it or not, but the folks at 538.com. who were famous for their electoral polling during the campaign. Nate Silver, he started following baseball, then he followed elections. Now, apparently, he's following beer consumption.
Well, you know what? If I had to follow elections, I'd be driving me to drink, too. I'd go straight to beer.
But it is, that just shows you the depth of the depression.
It's bad.
Beer is off 14%. Wine and spirits declining merely by 1.6 and 0.9%. It's beer that's really pulling the whole thing down.
You know, I wonder, though, if that's because it's cold weather right now. And, you know, people drink more beer in the summer, don't they?
Oh, yeah, could be.
I mean, unless it's an annual, I mean, like, takes that into account.
Well, it does. I mean, I'm looking at the graph going back to 1959.
Huh. Go figure. I feel bad for Mr. Anheuser and Mr. Bush. Well, you know who is enjoying a big bump right now?
Who?
Is Dunkin' Donuts.
No, well, see, Fratelli's, which was the high end, went out of business.
Right.
But the low end will be with us forever.
Right. In fact, they are planning to expand. I think they're opening up like 12 new locations in the state of Georgia. They're looking at Arizona because, you know, they've been mostly an East Coast thing.
Yeah.
And now they're coming west. They're coming west. And that's kind of ironic because I know Krispy Kreme has not fared as well in recent years.
I think Dunkin' Donuts was smart because they pitched the coffee and they pitched themselves as an alternative to the high priced Starbucks blend.
Mm.
And they have the lattes. They have the classic coffee.
You know, I don't like their coffee. And I know I'm going to get like tons of mail because the people who are devoted to Dunkin' Donuts coffee are really devoted. And I accidentally bought a Costco gigantic like 85-pound bag of Dunkin' Donuts coffee and then didn't like it. And I've been having to suffer through it ever since.
Really?
Yeah.
You think there's something particularly awful about...
It's just not dark enough for me. Maybe the one they sell at Costco is just like a medium blend.
A medium blend.
I like my coffee like I like my chocolate. Really dark and rich.
Okay? I like my coffee like I like my women. Cold and bitter. And that's just exactly what you get at Dunkin' Donuts. Yum.
Well, in other news, in the junk food world, you'll be glad to know that they were... sorry, this mouse is like all over the place today. There was this criminal, and it's sort of like a backwards version of the Hamburglar.
And he puts the burgers back?
No.
Because that would be the backwards version.
No, this guy
The guy breaks into your house and puts McDonald's hamburgers... in your shelf. That'd be the ham un-burglar.
No, that's like the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy or something. No. This guy actually would go to McDonald's, and he's pulled this like all over the place. Yeah. In South Carolina, I'm going to send you this link because you need to look at his face to really understand how great this story is. So he would go to McDonald's, and he would tell the people at McDonald's, look, I just ordered a double cheeseburger, you know, or whatever, Big Mac. And I told you guys, no onions. And then you put onions on it. And now my son ate it and he's really sick and he's in the hospital. I need my money back. And he pulled this scam like 10 times all over Greenville, South Carolina. And now they just busted him. He's in jail. Look out for him. His name is Spencer Earl Brannon.
Uh-oh.
You ever notice that looking at mugshots that almost every criminal has the middle name Ray or the middle name Earl or James Earl Ray.
Never noticed that.
Okay. Well, you need to take a look at Spencer Earl Brannon.
All right.
Busted. He would get like $22 a pop. He would go into McDonald's and say...
Oh, so he didn't do it just once.
No, he did it all over. I'll have two Big Macs. He said, I just ordered two Big Macs and two double quarter pounder meals. I said, no onions. My son ate them. He's allergic. Now he's dying.
And then they'd give him what? Free burgers?
Money. They'd give him money. Like $22.
Like just hand it out of the till?
Yeah, without receipt or anything.
You have some money?
Yeah. But he's safely behind bars.
That's pretty funny.
You know what? Desperate. I'm telling you, these are desperate hard times. People are having to get creative.
And what do they charge him with? Extortion?
They issued warrants for charges of obtaining property under false pretenses.
Huh.
He did the scam in Simpsonsville. He did it in Greenville.
I guess
all over South Carolina.
I guess I can't do this now. I thought maybe, you know, it wouldn't be illegal.
No, don't try it.
Don't try it.
No.
It's illegal.
Against the law. All right. Well, let's just move along. Okay. I do want to say that we've gotten a lot of response about the grilled cheese episode. And right now, as we speak, it is the Northern California Grilled Cheese Invitational is going on.
That's so exciting.
At Dolores Park in San Francisco. Now, I'm very sorry. I wanted to go and get some sound and stuff, except for, doing this. But it's kind of unfortunate because the weather's a little funky and it's going up smack dab against the Santa Cruz Clam Chowder Festival.
I disagree. First of all, funky weather is what grilled cheese was made for.
Well, and chowder as well, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think choice between clam chowder and grilled cheese, come on. Do they have tomato soup at the Grilled Cheese Festival? Because then that would be a no-brainer.
You know, I don't know. I because I'm not there. I'm here, you see.
What? Get out of here. Don't do the show. What are you doing the show for?
You've
got a place to be. You've got stuff to do. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Right. Plus, I have my children, and they would just whine and complain the whole time.
Mom, how come you're having grilled cheese? Oh, I got the picture of the guy.
Isn't he great?
Doesn't he
look just like somebody who would scam a McDonald's?
Let me just pop it up right here. Everybody can take a look at him. There he is. Attractive. Good looking fella.
Spencer Earl Brannon.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks like he's got a cup of coffee there from Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know if that's possible, but maybe that's what made him so bitter.
Could be.
So angry. See, and I think you could pull that in Dunkin' Donuts and
I ordered a donut and there were onions on it. My son's allergic. All right.
This is not despair.com. That's another one.
Yeah, that one. Oh, we'll go into that.
We'll get to despair.com. So I'm looking. Okay. I got that email. When did you send me the despair one? Before or after the other
one? Before.
Well, I'm still a little behind here.
All right. Well, then let's move along because back to the grilled cheese thing. So I get this email from John, and he said that when he was little, his mom used to make grilled cheese sandwiches using a variant of Velveeta called Kraft Old English cheese.
Yeah, it's just a white Velveeta.
Well, he said that Kraft has discontinued it, and he's not gone back to grilled cheese. He said he's been forced to, resort to Colby. But it just does not set the standard of the old English. So old English was just like white Velveeta?
I don't know. Maybe it was a little sharper. But you don't want to know how they made it sharp, right?
Well, I just think it's weird that they would just discontinue a cheese that was. And then, I tried to research it. And it's a common ingredient for cheese balls, when people would make their own cheese balls and then they'd roll them in nuts and give them to people for Christmas.
I think when the great cheese ball depression of 2002 happened. They never recovered.
Or maybe Kraft Old English cheese is a more expensive version, and now people are just going for the cheap cheese, government cheese. They're not going to have the Kraft Old English cheese.
Well, I'm kind of disappointed. I didn't realize. See, if I had known, is it old with an E, by the way?
Yes.
It's oldie English. Ye old English cheese. This does not seem like a selling point to me.
I know. Old and cheese,
Okay, I'm looking here. It comes in a small glass jar.
Huh.
I think cheese in a jar, not a good idea.
Mm. Well, I'm very sorry, John. I did try and find out what happened to the old English cheese and no está aquí anywhere. Now, we also got a lot of mail about chicken wings. Because remember, we were confused when about chicken wings. And there was supposed to be some kind of chicken wing shortage. And I was wondering why...
Everyone's got two.
Well, yeah, but I don't know why the chicken wings would be short supply, but we'd still have a lot of breasts. Like, I mean, it seems like that it would be a chicken shortage all over, But anyway, I do want to mention that John Jobst of Columbia, Illinois pointed out chicken wings have three parts. The tip is removed, leaving the two parts. One has two bones and the other is a single bone. That single bone piece resembles a chicken drumstick and is called a drummy.
A drummy?
And the drummy has a bit more meat on it. Restaurants generally charge more for an all drummy order. So I that was just more than I've ever known about chicken.
Well, and then you want drummies because so now when you so okay, so when I get a drumette, That mm-hmm. I thought it was a chicken with particularly small legs. But in fact...
Like maybe a rocket. I thought it was a dancing chicken.
I thought it was a little tiny drumstick. But in fact, it's part of the wing. It's the drummy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because really the best wings when you get them are drumettes because they're meatier. But so what it really is, it's like that part of the under the arm where it jiggles. It's that part.
Oh, that is appetizing. I think if I could have some wiggly arm and some old English cheese, I'd be set.
I think they're made of the same stuff.
Oh,
this is okay. A show that's supposed to make you hungry, not make you nauseous.
Oh, wait.
But so far, we've had nothing to enjoy whatsoever.
No,
in this show.
I know. Okay, well, how about this?
Okay.
When we did the pancake episode, we got a lot of mail up for people in Canada who said, listen, we have the best maple syrup because we had a big discussion about syrup.
Yes.
The Ontario Maple Syrup Festival.
Yes.
It should be coming
Ontario, Canada, not Ontario, Southern California.
Right.
Because I don't think they have maple in Southern California.
Right. They okay. probably don't.
No.
Maybe Maple Drive, but that's about
that's it.
So they have a big, fantastic Ontario Maple Syrup Festival. And then also Elmira Maple Syrup. They've got a one-day festival. Now, I just sent you a link to that. It's Elmira Maple Syrup. .com.
Look, I just got the link to the guy who stole the burgers.
Now,
Elmira Maple Syrup Festival. Oh, and you know, this is very Courier and Ives, this print they've got.
Is it?
Of the men gathering the sap of the tree.
Now, do you call those men sapsuckers or are they
No, that's kind of a woodpecker. I think they're tree men.
Treeman.
They're syrupers. Syrupers. I think that's it.
April 4th, people. Get ready.
That's the time of the year the syrupers emerge.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's got a hand drill. He's actually drilling a hole in the tree. This can't be good for the tree.
Well, I just want to give you a little heads up that Friday they do have the kickoff. And then Saturday, April 4th, that's when the fun really begins because they start off the morning with pancakes and I'm sure maple syrup. And then they have the outdoor mall, the old McDonald farm, the antiques and collectibles show, the toy show and sale, quilts and crafts. And at noon.
Oh, the precision syrup or drill team.
The Mega Mutts dog show.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Mega Mutts dog show.
And they also have a pancake flipping contest. So everybody head to Elmira April 4th. What else are you going to be doing that weekend?
Join the syrupers. As the sap begins to flow in Elmira.
Mm-hmm. Now, Leo, now you can go to despair.com because we did a Valentine's episode. We talked a lot. I know last year we talked about...
Hey, by the way, those chocolates, $48 worth of chocolates from Franz Chocolates.
Uh-huh.
Came in a box about the size of my fist for $48. Yes, it was a lovely satin heart with a satin rose on it. And the caramels were remarkable.
Yeah, they are. Good.
But for $48, it was like $4 a caramel.
You know, good things come in small packages. They have to harvest that salt from whales and roast it and, you know, all that stuff. And a lot goes into those Franz caramels.
They were delicious because they have the gray salt on top of it or the white salt on top of it. And it's just fantastic.
All right. So we did talk about Franz chocolates in at length, and we have talked about the little Necco hearts, you know, with the little thing, the conversation hearts.
But what about people who don't like Valentine's Day?
Yeah. What about people who don't have a Valentine?
Yeah. What about people who are bitter?
What are they to do on this?
They go to despair.com.
Yes.
And they get bittersweets. Valentine's candies for the dumped. Oh, I like this one. You left seat up. That's good. She's not.
So they're
happy.
The little conversation hearts.
No mun, no fun. Trading you in. Prenup, okay?
I don't know what this one means. Booty infulbin. I don't know what that. Oh, inflating. Booty inflating.
Booty inflating.
Easily broken. We had plans. Dog hates you too. I the jilt.
These are great.
Yeah.
You have a blog. These are great. So they have bittersweets for the dysfunctional, for the dumped, and for the dejected. So you pick which of these you are, and then they'll have these for you. And let's see here. So dysfunctional would be no fix for dumb. parole is up. Return to pit and booty inflation. That would be the bittersweets for dysfunctional.
Mm.
For the dumped, you left seat up, back to kennel. Oh, here's a good one. I got sober. Celibate thanks to you. And Russian bride. Oh, my. And they must have had fun. This must be fun. I'd like to work at this company when they make these up.
Well, you know, this company is awesome because if you go to like, I mean, this is just a sideline. They have all kinds
of other disparate products.
Well, they have their main line of products are demotivators, increasing success by lowering expectations.
Well, I'm all for that.
Yeah. So, you know how like people's, you know, executives will have some sort of motivational.
Oh, they have those posters with the black frame and the saying. Yeah. Behind it. Oh, look at these. These are demotivators.
Yeah.
Adversity. That which does not kill me postpones the inevitable. Agony. Not all pain is gain. And it's got a boxer being slugged in the face. Here's one. Ambition. It's got a bear trying to bite a salmon. The journey of 1,000 miles sometimes ends very, very badly. Here's a sandcastle that's getting washed away by the ocean. The caption is bitterness. Never be afraid to share your dreams with the world because there's nothing the world loves more than the taste of really sweet dreams. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Is it bringing you down? Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
I want some of these.
Yeah. Pretty great. And then they have like a whole like demotivating books and, you know, books and stuff. You know how people always have the 7 things you should do to the highly effective people, all that stuff. These books are more like, I'm a loser. You're a loser. We're all in this together. So it's just like really, really, really depressing.
I'm glad somebody's really kind of taken demotivation out of the closet and put it right
where it belongs,
right on the web, when it belongs.
Front and center.
Oh, and they got mugs. Let's see. Ambition. Oh, that's the one we talked about before. Get to work mug. If you aren't being paid to believe in the power of your dreams, get back to work. Oh, my goodness. These are good. Procrastination. Hard work pays off after time, but laziness always pays off right now.
They also make clothes. You look at
despair clothes,
despair wear.
I don't know if I'd want to wear despairing clothes. Oh, these are like t-shirts with demotivating slogans.
Yeah. One is more one on the front of the shirt. It says more people have read this shirt than your blog.
It's got a little counter on it that goes 0000002. These are good.
Yeah.
These are really good.
Just in time for a demotivating holiday coming soon.
I never heard of this company, Despair Incorporated at despair.com.
Yeah.
You found something unique.
Well, you know, I think that the hearts are great. And that was actually sent to me by, somebody Twittered me that. And I can't remember who it is, but whoever you are, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for Twittering Despair. Yeah.
So we got a kind of, we got schooled basically, Leo. David Hagar was... you know, when we did pickles and we were like talking about the pickle juice that was supposed to be like Gatorade, it was like to help soothe muscle pain.
Yes. And did it work? Okay. And what I was skeptical.
Just a note, while all salts are electrolytes and there are a lot of chemical salts, not just table salt, not all electrolytes are salts. In fact, salts are a byproduct of reactions between different electrolytes. Acids and bases are both electrolytes and can serve the body very well. Next, pickle juice has a lot of such things. And in the South, it's been being used for multiple purposes for a long time. Some alternate uses, the ingredient in macaroni salad dressing to thin it, but also to add flavor.
To remove warts.
To cure a sour stomach.
Yes. More sour. Add sour to the sour to make it less sour.
Please tell Leo that Gatorade won't taste good until you need it.
Oh.
The tongue does a great job of altering the perception of food and drink depending on how the body will react to the chemicals that are present.
So if it doesn't taste good, I'm not thirsty enough.
In fact, Gatorade is specifically crafted to taste horrible unless your body really needs it.
or you're really, really thirsty.
Well, in that case, your body would really, really need it.
Maybe, assuming that you need it.
Wait a minute. Did we already?
We had that conversation.
Yeah, I think we're going in a little circle.
Pickle juice is like Windex.
How so?
Well, you remember in my Big Fat Greek Wedding, she would squirt Windex on everything.
You know, I'm the only person in America that didn't see my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, all right.
Well, the only, and I also, you know what else? I've never seen Titanic.
You haven't? Oh, what are you saving that for?
You know what? After a while, I just thought, everyone's seen it but me. I'm just going to never see it. So I can at least have that going for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's kind of too late now because people really don't bring up Leo and Kate in conversation.
No, they do because they're in that new movie, Revolutionary Road.
They're back.
Which everyone thought was going to get Oscars stuff, but it totally got shut out of the Oscars. Did it? Totally, yeah.
But The Reader, her other movie, got an Oscar nomination.
Yeah, and she'll probably win for that one. But Revolutionary Road is depressing.
Really?
Just letting you know.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Although, you know how I always do like an Oscar menu, and we were hoping that it would win something or be nominated for something so I could have Oscar Rocky Road, but was not.
So have you got your Oscar menu planned?
Well, we have a couple things. I'm not sure if we're going to, I kind of am running out of time, but there is The Curious Taste of Benjamin Mutton.
And that one you could like make with chocolate or pickle juice and put some Gatorade on it. Anything.
Well, mutton tastes curious anyway.
Anyway. Yeah, you really don't need to do much.
It's bad. I wanted to invent a cocktail called Tropic Thunder.
There you go.
Let's see, what else? Corn Dog Millionaire.
This is fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
I want to go to an Oscar party at your house next year.
And yeah, next year we'll have a good one. But you know, did you see Corndog Millionaire, by the way?
Corndog Millionaire, I missed. We were thinking of going tonight. Jennifer has this crazy.
Please go see it.
Well, it's between that or The Wrestler. She has this crazy urge to see every movie before tomorrow night.
Oh my God. You know what? Today's the day that a lot of.
Everybody's going to go.
AMC theaters are doing like all day. All movies.
So you could see all the movies if you went to AMC.
Yeah, certain theaters.
We should say we record this on Saturday for a Sunday release.
Oh yeah, but
so
don't.
It was yesterday, but it's today for us.
Well, The Wrestler's really good, and you'd like it because you get to see Marissa Tomato Salad naked almost the whole time. Like she's like practically naked the whole time.
Oh, I love her. Well, something has to distract from Mickey Rourke's face. What happened there?
Oh, good God!
What exactly happened there? Is that a collagen gone
bad?
Yeah,
it is such horrible plastic surgery gone. He said like cheek implants.
Oh, okay. Because he didn't look like that when he was young.
No. He didn't really have giant lips before, you know? And then all of a sudden he was looking like Lisa Rinna, you know? I mean,
why did he do this facial stuff? What was he thinking?
Well, I think he had some sort of severe drug problem that he would stare in the mirror and say, this has got to go.
Oh.
Or this needs another.
And then he'd go to somebody cut rate.
Right. I don't want to knock him right now because his chihuahua just died. Oh. So
he said he has had five operations to fix the damage done to his face during his career as a boxer. And he thinks he may have gone to the, quote, wrong guy.
You think? Mickey, go look at Diner. Go look at Diner.
He was cute in Diner.
Oh, my God.
Now he doesn't look like the same person.
No.
Oh, so it was boxing that did it to him.
No, it wasn't. I think it was a lot of drugs and then a lot of bad decisions.
Wow. Yeah, because he looks like it's like he's in the witness protection program. He didn't want anybody to recognize
it's like
him.
His face melted is what happened.
Yeah. Oh.
But anyway, he's really, really good in that movie.
I can't wait to see it.
But it is, you know.
So which should I see, Slumdog or Wrestler?
I would see Slumdog. I enjoyed that movie tremendously. I mean, there's horrifying things that happen in it, but the payoff is very good.
Yeah.
And the way it's done is amazing. And it's a great movie.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a tough decision, but okay, we'll go to Slumdog.
And I really want to like.
Of course, Marisa Tomei naked most of the time might sway me.
Yeah, there's not a lot of nudity in Slumdog Millionaire.
You call it Corndog Millionaire.
I know. I'm getting mixed up.
Well,
sorry.
Do you have besides the Marisa Tomato Salad, do you have any other, anything
Mickey
other?
Mickey Pork.
Mickey Pork. I like that. That's good.
Oh, we were really hoping that Leonardo DiCaprio would get nominated, but he didn't because before when he was nominated, we made Leonardo de Carpaccio. And that was delish. But so, yeah, you know, it wasn't that many. Oh, Kung Pao Panda. I mean, Kung Pao.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what? Speaking of movies really fast, I'm going to sidetrack. I took my son, who's 8, last weekend to see Coraline, which is a kid's movie. And
It's not, though, is it?
Oh my God. It's so scary. I'm still creeped up.
Yeah.
It is terrifying.
It's Neil Gaiman, who is one of my favorite writers of all time. And I just adore him. But I've heard that Coraline really isn't a kid's movie. It's...
Well, you know, it's
how was your kid? Was he traumatized?
Like, it's a kid's movie. If your kid doesn't mind, like, having his eyes carved out and buttons sewn on them, and like, it's just
They're not real. They're fake, right? I mean, it's like a cartoon, right? It's animated.
No, it's like stop. Was it
stop motion?
Motion, yeah.
Yeah, because it's Tim Burton.
Yeah, it's like those old Rudolph, you know, and Frosty the Snowman. Yeah, but it's really super dark. And we saw it in 3D, so it made even
more. Oh, it's coming right at you.
Yeah, really, 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 really scary.
Good. Well, I'll tell Jennifer not to go see that because she wanted to see. She said there's that 3D movie.
It's good. It's just really.
She doesn't like being scared.
And the thing is that the thing that why this whole thing happens is this little girl, her parents both work and she feels like they're too busy for her.
Oh.
So in addition to being terrifying, it's guilt.
Made you feel terrible.
Yeah. 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 All right. So back to food. I do want to thank Bailey, who twittered me that Leo, we are in luck. Tim Tams now available in the United States everywhere.
I don't know if that's in luck. That's bad news for me. I love those Tim Tams. Oh, they're good.
Well, there's this great website called The Kitchen. It's the and then kitchen, but there's no E in kitchen.com. And they had a big article about it. And they talked about not only the Tim Tam craze, that Americans are just going bonkers for Tim Tams, but they're also starting a new activity called the Tim Tam Slam, which is tea and Tim Tams.
But because isn't the Tim Tam the one you suck the tea through the Tim Tam?
I guess.
Yeah, I think there's some special way you could turn the Tim Tam into a straw, basically.
Right.
And you get the Tim Tam delicious goodness inside goes through. Because when the tea, oh boy.
Here you go. Oh, wait. And then when I was on the kitchen, thekitchen.com, spelt without an E, I found out about this other website, which is fantastic. And I'm going to spell it out for you. It's Jugal Bandi, JUGALBANDI.info. And
info.
It's this awesome Indian website, and it has all this great Indian food, and it, you know, this would be great if you were going to go see Corn Dog Millionaire.
I love Indian food. We just have an Indian restaurant open up nearby, and we've been eating there every night. It's so good. So
This is really cool. It has the world's, it's all kinds of other food too. This one has, I just clicked on something, said the world's tastiest cheese.
Is there such a thing?
It's Norwegian brown cheese called Jettost. It says it's the one that tastes like salted caramel.
It can't be cheese.
That's what they say on Jugal Bandi.
That would be good. I wouldn't mind a cheese that tasted like salted caramel.
Check it out. Jugalbandi.info. It's a great site. Lots of great stuff in there. They also on that site show you how to make microwavable homemade potato chips.
Microwavable?
Yeah.
You can't make potato chips in a microwave. They have to be deep fat fried.
Oh, yes, you can. These are no fry chips in the microwave.
Wow. That sounds good.
Yeah. So, and then as long as we're talking websites, so many people sent me thisiswhyyourfat.com.
Yeah.
And we looked at it briefly last week, but I have got to say, I don't need to ever look at that site again because it's just appalling. I mean, I am the world's biggest junk food fan. But honestly, I don't need to have a pizza made out of corn dogs. I mean, it's sort of like you got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, that's a really disgusting site. Didn't somebody send me another one that was a companion? Did you get that email?
No, what was that one?
Oh, I wish I could remember now. It's another one like That Is Why You Are So Fat.
The Sandwich of Knowledge. The bottom tier contains 8 strips of bacon, 6 sausages, and 4 burger patties, followed by a second tier of black pudding, by a third tier comprised of 2 diced chicken breasts and 6 fried eggs.
And why do they call that the sandwich of knowledge? It's the knowledge that you're about to die.
These are just like, you know what?
I'm going to eat this and I will be dead before midnight.
And then they have the bacon wrapped meatloaf with a layer of mac and cheese. So it's basically a meatloaf. They split it in half and they put in like a 2-inch thick layer of macaroni and cheese. Then put the top half of the loaf back on.
Oh,
wrap the whole thing in bacon. I mean... Really? It's just a little too much for me.
That's why you're so fat.com.
Yep. Now, another site that I just found out about, it's called thesneeze.com. Mm. Thesneeze.com. And basically, it's really, really funny. But this guy, Steve, eats stuff so you don't have to.
Of course. Of course.
He eats stuff, you know, like potted meat. And he eats stuff like... like tongue and just really, really disgusting things. At one point, he actually drinks breast milk, but he does add chocolate to it. So it's more Yoo-Hoo. And it is his wife's, by the way.
I was going to say, I mean, he must have found a cooperative subject.
So many gross things. I can't believe it. But he's a great writer.
Is this the one with the tiki mug on the front page?
Yeah. If you go to the sneeze.
They have a theme song. Did you know that?
Let's hear it.
This is the Sneeze theme song by Cloud Cult. That's a good theme song. I think every web page should have a theme song. I mean, we've got a show theme song.
You know what's great about his theme song is that it doesn't just automatically play when you click on.
No, I love that. He could do that, but he didn't.
Yeah. I think that's very thoughtful of Steve. So this part of the sneeze is called Steve Don't Eat It, but then he does anyway. And he's a great writer. He's very, very funny. At one point, he says that when he's eating the potted meat, the can shows a serving suggestion of the potted meat being served on squares of toast. I would also suggest squares of toilet paper or maybe a nice diaper.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Includes mechanically separated chicken, beef, tripe, beef hearts, and partially defatted cooked pork fatty tissue. Defatted cooked pork fatty tissue.
It rolls right off your tongue, doesn't it?
Oh, God. Here's a jar of skin. uncooked pork rinds.
Yeah. Pickled pork rinds. And disgusting. Oh,
pork lips. You know, but it harkens back to an earlier time, a simpler time, a time when people ate every single piece of the pig.
Right.
Everything but the squeal, as they used to say. Mm-hmm. You know, because in those days, and we're rapidly approaching those times once again, people were poor. They needed to, you know, make the most use of everything they had.
Yeah, I know. We are reaching those days again.
I think you're going to see a return to pork rinds, pickled pork lips, trotters.
People buying food in the dented, you know, section, not really knowing what you're getting.
Don't know what you're getting. You know it's dented. There's no label on the can.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, a surprise. What are they called? My kids always get them. The
bomb surprise?
No. God,
what? It's a surprise. The Cracker Jacks. Okay, give me two words, one syllable.
Stop. It's the Manhattans from last night. I have brain damage. God.
Too many Manhattans? Is that what you were? Is that your drink? Is that your drink of choice?
Not anymore. No.
Because I was at an event with a young man who's fairly well known in the tech community, who said, "I don't have a signature drink. What is your signature drink?" And I said to him, "When you get to be my age, you will find that gin and tonic is the perfect signature drink. It's medicinal. It keeps you from getting malaria, and and it's clear and it's refreshing."
And you can't really get like hammered on them. Like you don't want to just keep drinking them.
No, they're not that good. That's another important feature. They really don't taste that good. So you're drinking Manhattans.
Oh, I just did last
What
night.
Is in a Manhattan?
Oh,
they're brown.
Death. They're brown.
It's brown. Something brown.
With Maker's Mark.
Yeah, I told him, do not drink brown liquor. That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Brown liquor is a bad idea. You see, he needed a signature drink. So if anybody has a suggestion for a signature drink,
And who's this guy? What's his name?
I can't say his name. He's well known. Well, I don't want to.
I know, but how can we select a signature drink for him if we don't even know him?
All right.
Because, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what if I say, well, you know what? Singapore Sling.
That's a signature drink for some.
but possibly that, not for when, him.
Now, so. You know why I think this is a whole show? Which is what your signature drink says about you. See, the Singapore Sling, I think you're going to be the kind of guy, maybe a Peter Lorre type, you know, who kind of talks like this, and you're wearing thick glasses and a raincoat, and I have a Singapore Sling to go. That's a Singapore Sling to me, but I may be wrong.
See, I would think more of a Charles Nelson Reilly.
I'll have a Singapore Sling! Sling! Where are you, Sling? That kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's more of a Mai Tai. Or
something that's on fire.
Something on fire. Flambe.
A scorpion.
So a Manhattan, according to the bartenders in our chat room, includes whiskey, sweet vermouth.
Oh, bitters. There were bitters.
Bitters. And a cherry.
Cherry.
Yikes.
Yeah, so there's just not much else other than pure alcohol. I guess that's why having four is not such a good idea.
And because it's brown liquor, I just feel that it's badder for you.
I know.
We have to make a new section of the show called Cammy, Don't Eat That.
Cammy,
or maybe
don't
Cammy,
drink
Don't Drink That. That could be a good section.
About 15 years ago, I came up with my new rule, which was no more drinking stuff that's on fire. And now I think it's going to be no more drinking brown liquor because I feel terrible today. All right, back to the show. As we were talking about people having to eat every single part of a pig because they're, you know, the economy. I think it's time to revisit ramen. And there's a great website called Ramaniac. So it's ramenIAC.com, Ramaniac. And it has every possible ramen, anything you could ever imagine.
Wow, look at this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I know we've talked about ramen quite a bit. I know my kids have it. Henry, how often do you have ramen? Okay, they can't hear you shrug your shoulders.
I don't know.
A lot. My son says, go to the store, go to Costco and buy me a case of cup of noodles, which is essentially American ramen.
See, but you need to tell your son, cup of noodles, no good. You know why?
Why?
We cannot recycle styrofoam.
Oh, I will tell him that. The plastic bags are so much better.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he always says, take the flavoring pack out. But I don't know. I think you need the flavoring pack, don't you?
Yeah, otherwise you're not going to get your daily requirement of MSG. So
is that what's in there?
I guess.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's good on
this is a great site. Now, is this a Japanese site or?
I think it's global. I don't know that it's totally Japanese.
It's a phenomenon.
But you know what? It is in Korean, I guess. Ramen television. Click here.
Is that Korean? That looks like Japanese.
Is that Japanese?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Let's listen to some ramen TV. Wait a minute. It says this video has been removed due to terms of use violation. Here's a girl. He's slurping while she's crying. So she's both eating ramen, and this one has been removed, too.
Wait, is it Ramaniac? Like, what are they doing?
I think Ramaniac's up to no good. Wow, they've all been removed. That's been removed, too. I guess, maybe YouTube has a anti-ramen policy that we don't know.
Maybe
that's
no
a
MSG
DMCA
YouTube.
Violation.
Could be.
Too much ramen.
All right, could be. And let's see. All right, we'll move on from ramen. And, you know, every single day somebody sends me something about bacon. And the big thing in the last couple, about a month, was that bacon explosion. I don't know if you ever saw that was
bacon
in the New York
explosion?
Times. Yeah.
Oh, I did see that. And I thought, boy, is the New York Times behind the times. We're almost over bacon.
I know.
They're just now catching on to it.
Well, they did the bacon explosion, which kind of revitalized bacon mania. And it was right around Super Bowl Sunday. So Super Bowl Sunday, a lot of people at this one party I went to, I think three people brought those bacon things and the bacon explosion. And
it's like a meatloaf of bacon, kind of.
It's like Italian sausage and you smash it out and then you smash it down and then you put cooked crispy bacon inside. Then you roll it into like a roll and then you weave bacon around it and then smoke the whole thing. That's the key. You got to put it on a smoker.
Oh, you can't just cook it. You have to smoke it.
Well, you can. It just won't be as smoky delicious.
Wow.
You know, the smoking is what does it. So that's a big one. But what interests me is that this inspired this food columnist from the Star News Online. I don't even know what city this is from. Where is it? To do a whole thing, Port City's Star.
I'm just looking at the bacon explosion pictures. And it's really good because they are so health conscious. They have the thermometer to show that you must heat it to 164 degrees.
You don't want to get sick, right?
Oh, no. Heaven forfend that you should eat this sausage and bacon confection and get sick.
Right.
Right. Mmm. Yum. Yep. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so the Port City Star, the food columnist, and I just sent you a link to this. If you go to Port City, let's see, foodies.starnewsonline.com, they decided to go 28 days of bacon. We are a bacon-obsessed culture. Bacon can be found in all kinds of recipes. So they were brainstorming. They came up with an idea to do bacon every single day of the month of February.
Okay.
So to kick things off, they have from Bacon Today, which is a website we've talked about quite a bit, the Bakeshinary. And the Bakeshinary has lots of bacon terms, like bakelical, the adjective, when conversations or occurrences seem to revolve around bacon, they are bakelical. Think about cyclical.
I get only it. With bacon. Bakelical. Okay.
Bacompose.
Bacompose.
To write songs, music, or parodies about bacon.
Okay.
So anyway, it goes on and on.
Yeah, you know, it does go on and on. That was enough. I've had
are
enough.
Are you done with that? Okay. Done with that.
I'm telling you, I'm done with bacon.
Are you?
The
over
bacon.
It.
We've been covering bacon for over a year.
I know.
And
right.
I think that anybody who's now getting on the bacon bandwagon it's too late. Sorry, bacon's done. It's cooked. It's 164 degrees.
Okay.
Time to move on to what's that?
That's Henry.
Russell Sprouts. Hi, Henry. He's got a Joe Montana's number on there. Are you a Joe Montana fan?
No, it's
Jerry Rice. Right?
I'm sorry, Jerry Rice. Montana's 16. Rice is 80.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he does it. It's a Niners shirt. And what does his name tag say? He's a good dancer?
I was at an aviation museum.
Oh, you went up into the plane, right? How was the plane flight?
Well, you actually they tilt the plane, like make it go like it's almost flipping over.
Oh.
And it's weight gain. So like your arm felt like it was made out of lead.
Oh, man. You didn't barf or anything, did you?
No. In fact, he had to go immediately to Burger King.
There's a Blackstone.
Well, you know why? They conveniently put a Burger King with a giant helicopter that kids can climb on right next to Hiller Aviation. All right. Okay, so we're done with bacon. What about salami?
Salami. I like now, a salami. Salami's, you know what? Salami's the new bacon,
okay.
I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, I did get a Twitter from Mad Cat USA who says, "Hey, Cammy, Leo, do you know of a comparable alternative to Gallo salami that I could buy outside the Bay Area?" So I'm thinking that Mad Cat is from the Bay Area, loves Gallo salami, and now is in a place where it is no longer available.
I am not as much of a Gallo salami fan as he seems to be. I'm kind of a Molinari kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're done with bacon. He said, "My brand is bacon."
My brand is bacon. Yeah, now see, the young people today, the thing I like about Molinari is if you go to their webpage, it's made in San Francisco, by the way. If you go to their webpage, MolinariSalami.com, you can see a small kid, roughly about the same age as Henry there, giving a salami to the Pope.
See, and you know, which Pope was it?
I don't know. It's probably the last one because he doesn't look like Benedict.
JP? Is it JP?
It looks like JP. It looks like, I think it's JP. Yeah, John Paul II. It's kind of, you know, I don't know if he knows it's a salami. Let's put it that way.
Hey, wait, why am I not getting, was it Molinari? What?
Molinari. And salami with an E at the end.
Oh, see, I spelled it the honky way. There we go. Look at the Pope having salami.
Right. He's happy. He knows, he's not really sure what that is. He knows it's... He knows it's a tube of something. He can't really be sure. It was his first private audience of the new millennium.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And he got a salami. Well, you know, my boy's godmother one time said, "Hey, what am I supposed to give your kids like for presents?" She said, "Because when I was a little girl, my godfather, he was a butcher. And every year he gave me a 5-pound salami on my birthday." Can you imagine? I wish that I had a godfather that gave me a 5-pound salami on my birthday every year.
Cammy, I think it's time to wrap it up. I can't believe it. I just looked up at the clock. We've been gone for an hour.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. We got to go.
We had so much mail.
Yeah, a lot of mail. And you know what? Continue to send the mail to Cammy at Munchcast, right? Is that it? Cammy at Munchcast.com?
I believe so. And you will respond.
Something crazy is happening with my computer. How's it doing that?
It's universal. It's working in my computer too. Watch.
Oh my God.
All right, okay, Cammy, we'll see.
I gotta go. I'm having a computer meltdown.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
On Munchcast.